If you want to learn more about the topics of today's episode, visit the podcast website at naturesecretservice.com. Thanks for listening. Okay, everybody, listen up. Here we go. This is Nature's Secret Service, the podcast that puts you in the room with the men and women of wildlife law enforcement. I'm your host, Ed Newcomer, and today we have an amazing follow-up episode to our interview last week with Craig Spencer, where he talked about his work in Olifants West in South Africa and with the famous Black Mambas. Today, we're very fortunate to have with us two of the Black Mamba anti-poaching rangers. We have Nkateko Mazimba and Colette Ngobeni. Thank you very, very much. They are both here in the United States. They're here for an event in Jackson, Wyoming. So they agreed to appear remotely with me today. And let me just say, Colette, Nkateko, thank you so much for being on the show. We really appreciate it. It's great to have you here.
And thank you for inviting us for this show.
Thank you so much.
We appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
You bet. So listen, let's first talk about Craig. Craig talked to us last week a little bit about what the Black Mambas are, but if one of you could tell us a little bit about what are the Black Mambas and what's your role there?
Okay. The Black Mambas, we are 36 young women next to the reserve that we are patrolling. We are unarmed. We are the eyes and the ears of the reserve. We don't carry any weapon at all. We think of a long-term solution where we work with 11 rural schools in the area with 2,500 kids, which we educate in their schools.
So to add on that, us as the Black Mambas, as you know, that we are an ant, we don't carry any gun. Every day in the morning, we have to split into many teams. One do for fence, some go for sweeping, some do for roadblock and also house inspection. The reason why we do the fence line, especially early in the morning, we want to make sure that we gather early information in the fence line. And in case we found that there is a hole there on the fence, we make sure that we do 360 to find out like why we do have a hole in the fence. And then if we find that it's a tracks of poachers, normally poachers, as you know, that some of them that are the former soldiers, that are the former rangers and former police, they know how to hide the tracks. So once we do 360, because on the fence line, when they have to jump out, they don't cut any fence. Sometimes they take an advantage using that hole to go inside. And also when they manage to pass that fence somewhere, somehow, they use some hoof of a buffalo to hide their tracks so that you cannot able to see that there is someone who's already inside. But us, as we've been trained on how to check the tracks and all to identify the soil, most especially when it comes to tracking, it's where you can able to see that someone is inside. And also, when you do the roadblock, we check that in case someone is inside, maybe because some other people, when they come to our reserves, they do some house renovation. So somewhere, somehow, to collect all their information, their IDs, to check that they're good people or having a bad people in our reserve. And also when we do the house inspection, it's where we check that those contracts that we already check in the gate, they don't go inside the bush to put the wires to have meat, because those, more especially, they eat unhealthy food. So that's why we do a house inspection. When we go for sweeping, where we go to the bush, we make sure that we split more, it's either 4 people or 5 people, so that we can cover large area where we have to remove lots of wires, because a wires is the strongest weapon that poachers are using. If they can use a gun to shoot animals, definitely in a distance gonna hear the sound doof. But for the wire, we cannot even hear any click of a wire. So that's right. Why us every day we go to the bush and sweep to remove the wire that the poachers are putting. And up to so far, previously we used to remove plus or minus 200 wires per day. But
Wow.
now, as we're always putting more effort in the boot, in the bush, we put more boots in the brook to show people that there is a rangers here. When the poachers came here to set up the wire, they can see that there is Amamba tracks. Definitely, they have to escape or to chase themselves out of the bush. Then we have to remove all the wires, because you may find that sometimes when they set up 50 wires, maybe 10 impala has been down, or 50 impala is down. And when they take out the meat to the bush, they leave the wires still set in the tree. And any animal that's going to come through there is either a rhino or buffalo, or any animal that's going to pass through, they're going to get caught. So that's
Right.
how mambas we are doing each and every day.
Interesting.
And then the reason why they hired all the women is because we are the primary caregivers. We are the role models in our community. I used to say that we are the front mirrors in our communities, because it's human empowering where we are. And then in the beginning, when we started with this program, a lot of people never believed in us, especially men. They thought that the work that we are doing, only the men can do it, while we are doing it exactly like they're doing it. It's just that we are doing it in the different morals, where we don't carry any weapons, because we believe that the poachers, they come from the same community that we are coming from. And
Right.
our kids, they go to the same school with their children, their wives. We go to fetch water with their wives in the communities. So that's why we don't want to create any conflict in between us. We want to build the good relationship with the people in the community, because we want them, we want to educate them why they need to conserve nature. Because nature, it is our heritage. We need to conserve this for our future generation. And then again, as you know, that the women, we don't want to create where we are if we have the problems. We want to solve it in the peaceful way. We always want to solve the problems in the peaceful way. So that's why they hired the women. And then again, we are the future grandmothers. We'll take care of our children. So we need to educate them. And then again, as women, when we get paid or when we get our salaries, we go straight to buy things for our children. While the men, normally, when they receive their salaries, they want to spend it in their shebeens. So for us, I think it was a good solution of involving the ladies in conservation, because back in the days, the women, they were not more in conservation, but we managed to bring more women in conservation. That's why now we are sitting at 12% of female rangers globally, which we are their role models, and we've
Yeah.
empowered a lot of people all over the world.
Excellent. How many black
And
mambas
to add
are?
on that,
Oh,
oh, sorry,
sure.
please. Yeah, and
Sure.
to add on that, as we don't carry any gun, I hope if we do carry any gun somewhere, somehow I can shoot someone's life.
Right.
And then when I back home, lots of people, they will hate me. They'll say, like, "You members killed my father, you killed my brother." So we want
Right.
to live in a village or in a community where lots of widows because of me, lots of orphans because of me. So we
Right.
fight this badly with our mouth, which is education. So
Yeah,
we
yeah.
try our best to make sure that whatever we have in our reserve, we also involve the community. Like we're engaging the community. We do so many things in the community, because I remember last during pandemic, so many things were shut down. Us as the members were still selling, but we managed to provide the food parcel to the community. We also provided the center, which is may allow anyone in the community to go and have an access of free Wi-Fi. They don't pay anything. So by
Wow.
involving the community with what we are doing, it makes us like we are investing. Now we also happy, because whatever they had in the community, like people want to come into our reserve. People used to give us aid, like, "Hey, members, be careful. We had someone want to come and poach." So that's why we
Excellent.
work together with the community. Whatever we had, we share with them. Whatever we had, we also give it to them. And also, we allow the people from the community to come to our reserve to spend a week or a month. We also have a baby camp where it's based in our bush, where anyone who wants to come to spend a week with us, and then we take them to the game drive. We are the guide. We can
Yeah.
share with them the good information with them. We share lots of good things.
And we wanted to make sure that we are investing to the people, because some of them, they fail to go to university, most especially
Right.
the young ones. They want to become guide, they want to become ranger, but being educating them, being taking them to the bush, we are investing. Some of them,
Excellent.
they will know that in future they will be the one who taking care of the animals that we have, because if we don't do that, we will go instinct when it comes to our animals. So that's
Right,
why
right.
I level the best to work hand in hand with the communities. And
Excellent.
we mustn't forget that the children, they are our future leaders.
Right.
Creating
True.
this or instilling the knowledge at the early age, this
Right.
is going to help us in future, because these children will grow up knowing why they have nature next to them, why they have conservation next to them, why they have wild animals next to them. So these young children, they will grow up having the good knowledge of why we should conserve nature. And then these children, for investing on them, it's very good, because you know the children, when you tell them something, they don't keep quiet.
Right.
Immediately when they arrive home, they will tell you that at school, they were the soldiers, because they used to call us the soldiers because our youth.
Yes.
So they will say, at school they were the soldiers. They taught us that wires that dangerous to the animals.
Yes.
Poaching, it's very dangerous. And then again, when we go to the classes, all the environmental monitors, because in the program we have the environmental monitors, which they go to the school every day. They have the hours in the schools to educate these children. So they ask these children, what is your favorite animal? When you grow up, or when you go to varsity, what do you want to do? So these children, they will tell you that, my favorite animal, it's an, because we start at the small things, which is ants, trees, flowers,
Right.
everything. So when you are in the class, they will tell you that my favorite species, it's an rhino. My favorite species, it's a marula tree. So you tell them, when you go to home, tell your parents that what is your favorite species? Because
Right.
when they cut the trees, we'll never have the trees.
Exactly.
Teach them from the early age, so then they understand. So do you think if you had the child saying that, I love rhino, if you are the poacher, would you go to the reserve and kill that rhino? No.
Might make you think twice. Yeah,
Yes,
definitely.
because you
Yeah.
think that I'm destroying the future of my child,
Right.
killing this thing. So that's why we try our best to educate these young ones, because we know that changing their mindset, it will help us than educating them when they are maybe on their 21st, somewhere there. But these children, they're the one who are helping us in the village to
Right.
educate their grannies. And that's why we even have the granny program. It's a bush granny program, which we know that the old ladies, they are the ones who are taking care of their grandchildren. So, and then we want these grannies to change, what they have back in the years, or how they lived back in the
Yes.
years. Share this with the children that they're staying with at home. That's why we give these grannies an opportunity to go to Kruger National Park or to our reserve to go for the game drive, so then they can be connected with the animals, because we need them to be connected with the animals.
Right, right.
Because in conservation, we need each other. If we
Yeah, for
want to
sure.
win in conservation, if we want to win in conservation, we need each other. We need to educate each other.
Yeah, there's so many things that are neat about the black mambas, and you've raised so many cool things. I want to ask you a couple questions here about some of the things you mentioned. And I guess I'll start with, I know that all of my listeners will probably be astounded at how brave you are for being out there without weapons, because normally they think about needing weapons for two things: protecting themselves against other people, bad people, and then protecting themselves against animals. Because what I think, and I see in Kateko's shaking her head, and I want to, we'll talk about that, but Olifants West is a what they call a big five game or a nature reserve, which means that Elephants, rhinos, hippos,
Everything.
lions, buffalo,
Leopard.
the
Yes.
big five are there. Plus, there are real black mambas, which are like the snakes. Right?
That will represent. Which
But
snake is not part of the big five, but you are still saying
no,
the
they're
big
not part of
five.
the big five, but you better pay attention to the snakes too.
Definitely, yes.
So, a lot of times we think of, oh, well, geez, what if you got charged by an elephant or whatever? But one of the things I really admire about the Black Mambas is that you're very skilled not only at dealing with human beings and conflict de-escalation. And you mentioned some of that in that, Craig talked about this in that the Oliphants West is a kind of a unique reserve in that on the east side is basically Kruger National Park. And then the west side is there's communities right there, right? There's villages right there. And boy, I don't want to jump around with my questions, but okay, so let's start with. So you've explained why you don't have weapons because you're for human beings because you're about conflict de-escalation, building, education or deterrence through education and presence and viewing. But let's talk about like how are you trained to deal with the animals you might encounter there, lions or elephants or a mad buffalo? How are you trained to deal with that out in the bush?
Okay, I'll start in this way. During our training, it was a hard training. We've been in the bush for many days. So every day we normally go to the bush and show us the tracks and then to know that this is a fresh tracks or this is an old tracks. And also the behavior of animals, like when you encounter with animals like this size or elephant or rhino, what action you should take it. Because normally when you come with big five, you don't run. You should make sure that you hide yourself somewhere, somehow, and then you can be safe. So for us, as we don't carry any gun, we don't need any gun because the skills that we're having, it make us safe. Every day when we go to the bush or before we start going to the bush and sweep or on our fence line, I'm also like myself, I've been in eco-train to learn more information about bees in the bush. I'm also sharing with my team, like now, as we're about to go to the bush, what we should do, let's start to read the bush before we go inside.
Yes.
My favorite animals is a giraffe because they're too tall and they can manage to alert the rest of the species. So I can apply that information that I know to my team. Like now, you see the bush is open, the bush is clear. There is no impala, there is no warthog, there is no duiker. Why the animals are not there? Then so we started to read the bush, like checking the tracks down, starting to listen, observing, so that we can manage to go. In case we find that there is a trace of an animal, normally we don't follow. We just like report immediately, then we change the direction because I know that somewhere, somehow, if it's a lion, you can hear them maybe having a deep breath because they like to sleep, especially during the day because they are active during the night. You can hear the deep breathing, like we know that they're sleeping. Somewhere you can hear the broken branches, which is an elephant. They're pushing the tree somewhere. Then we can able like team, what we need to do now is change the direction. So that's how we apply more in the bush. And also the senses that we all have, remember, because we have got different senses. Some she's good on see, some she's good on hearing, some is good on smelling, some is good reading on the tracks. So that's how we apply those senses that we have it to make sure that all our members, we are safe. I remember last time we encounter with the pride of lion. It was a mist that day. We cannot even able to see a distance. But someone in a distance, because he hear us busy talking, because normally when it's too mist, we like to talk so we can make animals away from us because we cannot see clear. And then someone shouted us like, "Mambas, be aware, there is lion in your sight. Be careful." We said, we just only heard the sound and they said, "Thank you." Then we keep moving. We know that the weather was not favoring us, but we cannot skip our work because we know that if we can skip our work, maybe we might not know that poachers are already inside or go out. So that's why we have to check our fence early in the morning. So that day we were moving and then we hear that sound, someone alerting us, and then we keep walking. So somewhere when the mist starting to disappear slowly, surely, then I can able to see 50 meter away from us. Then we started to see the male lion. Like, "Hey team, here's the male lion. Oh, that guy, he was reminding us like we must be aware of this guy. What we should do, as we are three of us, one must focus on that lion, and then as we're busy checking the defense, then we keep moving." That day it was a bad day for us because it was missed. We tried our very best to focus more on the fence while someone was focusing on the lion. But somewhere in the distance, we see something playing on the road. And I say to my team, "Hey, I see something playing." They say, "Ah, you're lying. The thing that we should focus is that male lion that we saw first. And it was lying down relaxed, meaning they're pushing us to the bride." Keep moving, we keep moving. I say to them, like, I start feeling something in my body. There is an animal that are playing in front of us. They say, "Are you lying? There's a big grass is there. We don't see anything." We say, "Okay." I keep moving, but I know that now my senses are about to leave me because I feel like the heart is out of my body. I see like my heart beating fast, like, "Hey, we are going to die." The last word that I told to my team, I'm like, "Now we are dead." They say, "You are lying." So we are dead because I see something's playing. It was four cubs. The mother was hiding in the big grass, and then the cub were busy playing on the road, back to the grasses, back to the road. So the moment they go to the bush, when they look, they don't see anything. But when they keep focusing on that one, the baby comes and plays on the road. Within minus of 10 minutes, we are there where the babies were jumping in and play. I was like, "Hey, look at in front," almost 5 meters away from us. And then with the baby busy playing there, the mother, as you know, that the mothers are always protected to us, to their kids. They are jumping. There were two of them. One jumps straight to the cubs, like she's thinking, wanted to take the baby. Yo, yo,
And they
yo.
growled, no doubt, right? They gave out a nice growl that put a
Yeah.
shiver down your spine, right?
It was a hell. They tried to show us the warning. You know, animals, before they charge you, they always show you, like, "This is my warning, my place. Go away." They tried to show us the signs, but the baby, because they were busy playing in front of us, mother keep showing us. We're starting to reverse slowly while we are shouting, clapping hands, shouting. But the mother thinking, like, "No, these people are going to take my cubs." The last warning that we see, I say to my team, "What we should do, no matter how, we should run." When I look back, I find one of my colleagues is down, and I cannot leave here running straight to the mountain or to the tree. We should rather die together there, or rather make sure that we're all safe. And then we turn back, we grab each other, we run straight to the big trees there. I find myself up in the tree. One of my colleagues, she was in the big rocks there with his head inside the big, while the legs is like trying to talk, like, "Help, help," while I'm busy shouting out there. When I look down, I find that 12 lions. 12 lions.
12 came down below the tree.
Yes, because they were following us. Because the baby was busy playing, moving around, the mother was shouting, and the whole group came to see what was happening, because that is how they communicate through, especially the animals. And I find that 12 lions, we just managed to, you know, normally they know that once mambas are in the bush, the people who are at the office or the manager or the supervisors, they're always opening their eyes in case of emergencies, and then they have to make sure that they help us immediately. We
And
just take our,
you have radios to communicate with
yeah,
them
yes,
and
it's okay. Just we managed to take the radio phone, the wiki talking, like, "We need help." They just only heard the word "help." Luckily, they didn't take in plus or minus 15 minutes, and then they
Nice.
can find out how is a pride. Pride.
Wow. Now,
So,
why did you decide to run? Because usually you're told never run from a lion because it'll trigger a chase, right?
we've been warned for 2 times. Normally, lions show us some sign, like, "Go back." They threw out the sign. We start to reverse slowly. But because of the cubs, they were busy playing. They don't care that what was happening there. And then she came again to show us, like, sign, like, "Please go back," like throwing the sign to us. We tried to reverse slowly. But the last time that we've seen from the lion, they jump and then show us the breath, like, and then, "Yeah, we are to hell." They show us three signs. And then we are dead. That's where we turn back and run. Okay,
Nothing will.
normally, what they teach us, they taught us that with the lions, you need to give it a space, or when you see it, make a noise and then try to get yourself bigger while you are going back bit by bit. So when you see that you are now on the safe place, that's where you can run, but you don't just run. So this is what they did. They give the lions a big space, so when they manage to run, that's where they ran. And then, because they're moving back bit by bit, because normally when we move, two or three ladies will look at the lions. The other ladies will look on the road and then to direct us where to go, moving back little bit, little bit. And then when we are safe, we run. So normally what I can say we've learned the animal's behavior. They
Yeah.
taught us the animal's behavior. This is what keep us safe always.
So you can recognize, when the animal is getting ready to commit to a charge, or whether it's a bluff or that kind of thing, right? It's
Because
almost
I
like tactical movement against lions, right? You have to learn how to be tactical around lions, right?
Yes, that's why now when I go to the bush, I know when I see the fresh tracks or I see the lion in the distance, we always alerting each other, guys, we have to give them the space.
Yeah,
So then,
yeah.
okay, if it's an elephant, we know that the reaction that is going to take the, it won't be nice. So we have to give an Asian anything space because we know that we are at their habitat, we are wanted at their territory. We cannot take them out of the reserve so that we can keep working. No, we are there to protect those animals. So that's why we apply all the senses that we have it. To make sure that we are safe. Sometimes we can smell even the dung. Like I'm good on smell, like, oh, this is the smell of an elephant. It is still fresh. Sometimes it will smell like scatters of a lion. We know that, oh, this is fresh, and then we have to take the change direction
Right.
immediately. So that's how we apply to make sure that we're safe in the bush.
So, and then again, we have on the management, early in the morning, they listen for the game drives. So they listen for the sightings of the animals. So which
Right.
helped us a lot. Because they will notify us that today, because the grade reference that we were supposed to work, it was this, but change the grade reference because the game drive people or they told us they are lions or they are elephant there. So even at R40, on the reserve that we are patrolling next to R40. So the people that they're driving up and down, normally they even notify us if they see elephants at front of us. Some of them, they reverse back and tell us, hey, ladies, we saw elephant at this place. They were very close to the fence line. So then we change the direction,
Yeah.
join at front, and then we continue with our patrol.
Nice. Yeah, I think for US listeners to get a kind of mental picture of Olifants West, it's a very large nature reserve, but it also has there's lodges there, and there are tourists that go there to view wildlife. So during the day, there are these as you mentioned, game drive vehicles moving around, and they often communicate with each other about where wildlife is so they can show tourists, right? But that's good to monitor that radio traffic, because then you also know, okay, we know there are elephants, 2, 3 kilometers ahead of us on our patrol route. Maybe we should change our patrol route today, right? Very good. That's very cool. I want to talk a little bit about this. Well, first of all, you know what? We talked about an encounter with an animal. Have you guys ever had a situation where you've actually like stumbled upon poachers in the bush? Like there they were, like right in front of you. How'd you handle that? Because presumably they were armed. What happens when you guys do encounter poachers out in the field?
Okay, on that situation, we were normally it happens most usually in the morning when we do the sweeping patrol.
Right.
So we were four of us doing the sweeping at the buffer zone where there is no rangers there. So they deploy us there in the morning, like go guys and search that area. We know that sometimes, somewhere, somehow there is lots of threats because we are surrounded by the mine at our buffer zone. So normal people, when they go there, they just do the trespassing, go and steal the copper to the mine and came back to our reserve, set up the wire to get food for their families.
Got
So
it.
that day we find that there is lots of different tracks there, which means there was lots of groups that was inside our reserve. Then we report it. Likely we have a SIMO phone that is helping us to collect all the information that we gather in the bush. So we report it immediately. We take all the pictures that we find it on the on down there, and then we send straight to the office. And then we let them know that they should not call us because this is a fresh tracks and it's already inside. Because if they
Right.
can keep checking, like the loud of the wakey talkie, you can make some people aware that there is people here. Likely work together with the office, and then they say, okay, what we should do, use that phone to send message in case you bump up something. Then we say yes. Then we keep moving. Somewhere, somehow, started to hear, like, if people moving, you can hear some step, like someone is moving because we
Right.
more people. Then we start tracking, and they was like, guys, what we should do, we must do tracks, we must split among ourselves so that we can at least cover a large area in case someone maybe jump and run, we can able to see that, oh, there's people. When we're busy doing that, normally we communicate with hands or something to show that we are about to, or our sign languages. And then we go to the bush. And then we started to hear that people are moving, and then someone called on the radio, and then they hear the sound of the radio, and then they start running. So one was he was carrying a lot of copper, and a copper is a heavy things. So he dropped down the bag, and then the rest of 14 they go. So that guy, he dropped down his bag and he find a big tree with a big grasses, and then he go underneath the tree and he hide himself. So when we keep moving, we find that, oh, and it was five tracks, now it's four. Therefore, it goes other side, one, where are the other one? We start to do tricks, and then we find that there is a big bag. What we should do, we just know that this bag is from someone. Then we take the bag, we put information on the phone, we continue with our 360. We find someone is hiding inside the grasses in the big tree there. So what we should do normally? We normally used to scare people like, hey, don't go, don't wake up. If we wake up, we'll kill you, even though don't kill them, just to scare them. So as you know that they're afraid of rangers. They think like once they see us, they will call us, they will arrest us and all those things. And then we keep shouting like, if you stand up, we're gonna kill you. And then that guy says, no, sorry, so don't kill me. He's like, don't wake up there. And we jump, we handcuff him. And then, like, what we've been trained, like myself, I used to ask so many questions too, like, why are you doing this? Why are you here? So sometimes you find that people are in poor,
Yeah.
that there because someone sent them to get food, to get what they want so that they can get money and all those stuff. But that guy, he was in poor. His family was in poverty. He was looking for help. So what I did, we communicate with our management, like what we do, because we already arrest the person, and then he say this and that, and then they call police to come and take him. So I was always communicating with the police to check us, like when is he going out? Because I say to him, I wanted to go and see your family that you're really, really in need. So that we can put him in our food ration that we give to people each and every month in the community. So the police say to me, you will go home on this date. And then, so that day that he's supposed to go home, there was a strong rain, thunder, and all those stuff. So at his family, because he was having a wife and two kids, the 1 month child and also the 3 months baby, 3 years baby. And then they release him to go and attend because that rain that was there at their community, I was so strong, and the house of his guys fall under on top of his side, and then he find that the zinc cut the neck of that wife, and then she died. So they need to go and bury his wife. So that's why I get a chance to go and see him at his family, and then I find that he's already in mourning his wife, and then the situation was very bad.
Yeah, even worse.
So what I did, I asked permission to my boss, like I wanted to help this guy because now the situation is very bad. And even if I see the way you are, he told me previous the time we arrest him, he said the same thing, like I'm in help. I need something to help my family because I'm coming from Mozambique. I don't have ID. Sometimes in South Africa, when you don't have ID, it's not easy to get a job. So just do some peace job somewhere where you can build someone's house or doing something like different than what you think you can do. So Craig Spencer is a simple person. He say, if you can see that you can get a solution, go for it. And then I go to the shop. I take him to the shop. I buy food with my own money, and I help him. And then I ask, like, this guy, he must be part of our food ration so that he cannot go to the bush, so that he can support his kids. So that's the challenge that I faced it. And I think, like, I done something because now that guy doesn't want to see the bush at all. What he's asking is like, how can you help me? How can you continue helping me? So I'm struggling, or we're struggling a lot, because he's from far from that community where we used to give them the food parcel, but somewhere, somehow we helping him.
You know,
So that is
that's kind of what we talk about. It's now that makes me want to talk to you about the whole community thing, because in the US, what we have found is that when police officers live in the community where they patrol or where they work, it's a much better working relationship. Like, you know, that there's more trust between the police and the people. And it's really hard sometimes just because of economic factors to get police officers to live in those communities, because maybe the officers don't get paid enough to do that, or they can't afford the housing. But in your situations, you know, you mentioned you live in these communities where these people are, and I want to just take a brief second here to explain to listeners that in Africa, and you guys correct me if I'm wrong, but I think I'm right. You're encountering, there's two different kinds of poachers that normally you encounter. There's the people that go in that are after the rhino horn, the elephant ivory. They're there to sell that to other people to make money, a lot of more money. But then there's sometimes people who live in the periphery of these parks or outside the parks that are very, very poor and sometimes hungry. And they sometimes go into the parks to poach what we normally call bushmeat. And they're looking for food, basically, versus something they might sell. And this was a situation where you had a person who was struggling and they looked into the park as a food, potential food source, right? But now, being part of the community and taking that as part of your responsibility, what do you think? Just both of you answer this one, maybe in your turn. When you do something like that for someone, do you think it has an impact on is it just him and his family, or does that act of compassion and kindness, willingness to help? Or to show that the Black Mambas aren't just here to catch you, but to help you. Does that have benefits beyond just that one person? And if so, how does that extend to the greater community? Do you know what I mean by that question?
You saw in this situation, because we find the man who was poor in our bush,
Right.
and then we gave him a food, or Nkateko gave him a food. Now she's in our program. So according to us, we like I can I don't know how to put it, but what I can say is that in our community, we or in our communities, we have tribal authorities. So these tribal authorities or these elders, they know the houses which are very poor. So that's why we go to the tribal authority to ask permission or for them to give us the number or the names or the house of the people who are very poor. So and then we give those families the food rations.
To keep them from becoming poachers in the first place, right?
So we are putting an impact in the community.
Yeah, they're benefiting because whatever we get it, we will also share with them. So the food parcel, it's also helping them. And also inside the food parcel, there's a seeds of different types of seeds where they have to plant it. And then they water those veggies that are inside the food parcel. If it's grown enough, they have to eat it so that it's part of their impact because they can see that I was not having these things, but now since the Mamba step in my family or into the whole community, we are benefiting. So they're not thinking of coming and push because we are helping them. And we also even do the march. We have a chance where we allow anyone in the community to do the march, like stop rhino poaching, stop elephant
Oh,
poaching, all this stuff.
nice.
So by doing those things, it's part of benefiting the communities.
Yeah.
Because they can able to understand like why as members we concerned with nature, why are we protecting the animals? Because some of them they fail to go to university due to their situation, but doing everything with them is part of benefiting. They're getting something from us. And also, as I was saying, like we do have a center where we even cook food for the center to allow anyone to come and get food from the community. We also even have a garden inside the center. We also have a free Wi-Fi so that anyone can come and be busy with Wi-Fi. People
Yeah.
that in my age, when you talk about sometimes in poachers and whatever, they will never listen. But when they come to our center to have a free Wi-Fi, they are busy trying to apply, they are busy doing whatever they want. We keep them busy,
Yeah.
not thinking of going to the bush. And so, which is part of benefiting in the communities.
And it makes allies for you, right? So I imagine these people sometimes provide you with information, or they become advocates where maybe they hear from someone else that who is thinking about poaching, and they discourage them from doing it themselves without Mambas even being involved, right?
And then again, because in the north side where we are staying, like a lot of bushmeat poachers, they're coming from that communities. Because in the south side, we have more programs that are educating people there. So, but in the north side, it was few. Like it was, we are the first one who went to the community to educate them. So that's why we deployed more members from their community. So at
Got it.
least, yeah, so it's like giving back to the community. So
Yeah.
giving back to the community by hiring them from the community and work to the reserve that is next to
Sure.
the community.
Right. How many Black Mambas are there now? Do you
We
know?
are 30. We are 36, including the environmental monitors, which they stay in the community, waking up in the morning, go to schools to educate the children.
Excellent, excellent. And you guys mentioned, so I think I said, we call that community policing in the US when you're living in the community and working in the community that you serve. You guys mentioned, women rangers or women in the community are primary caregivers. They might be
Yes.
moms, they might be aunties, they might be grannies, whatever it is, right? Does that, oh, and one thing I read on your website, you guys work, what is it, 21 days on and 10
And
days
10
off,
days off,
right?
yes.
And that means you spend 21 days in the park, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So given that you are caregivers, aunties to your, children in your community, what kind, does that create any kind of challenge when you're away that long, or how do you balance work and your family personal life responsibilities?
To tell you the truth, I will start by saying that in our compound where we are staying, we have a lot of nests. We have rhino skulls, we have elephant skulls. So every morning before we go out on patrol, we call that area that is our motivation area. That place reminds us of why we are there to protect these voiceless animals. For us staying 21 days, it's a reward to the animals. So for us going back home for 10 days to bond with our children or to bond with our families, I think it's enough time because our children, they are allowed to visit us during school holidays
Great.
and during the holidays. So our children, they are more allowed to come and then we do the game drive with them. We
Great.
show them what we do. But you know that sometimes, somewhere, somehow, we miss our families.
Yeah.
But for me, because yo, when I'm home, I don't rest. I don't want to lie. I don't rest at all. And then sometimes my kids, they give me a headache. I think like, no, the 10 days, it's more. Can I go back to work? So yeah, it's
You're
crazy.
just
And then
as busy at home as you are at work, right?
yeah.
Yeah.
And
Yeah.
then again, for us to be away for our children, this benefits them. It is
Yeah.
benefiting them because we are protecting the animals that they will see and that they see not in posters, not in books, not reading them, but they see it on real life. So it is benefiting our children. And then again, now and then, when I go to my off cycle, because when I normally love to take pictures. So when I go home to my children, I show them the beautiful pictures of the rhinos, elephants, things like that. So yeah.
Excellent, great.
So for my side, at the beginning, it was not easy because being away from my family, I don't have kids, but I have many kids in my charity because I end up opening my own charity.
Oh,
So being
nice.
away from my charity, like feeling like I leave them behind. Yeah, so, but up to so far, because they know that the reason why I'm away from them is like I wanted to help them. If I'm not working, I won't even manage to help them. So, but being me in the bush protecting all those animals, it's make a huge benefit from them because each and every month I take my kids in my charity to go to Kruger to see animals for free. They don't pay
Excellent.
anything. So I do this because I wanted to develop to commit the way I grew up on. So I end up opening that charity. To I do so many things in my charity because what I'm doing in the south in the place where I'm working, I have to I apply it in my community where I'm staying. So
Nice.
that charity with me dealing with food parcels, food clothing, anything that people are giving to me, I'm also giving back to them. So they end up understanding like even if you are away from us, we know that you are doing something to help my family too. Sleeping with something in their tummy. Sometimes if maybe the kid doesn't have a uniform to go to school, I also bought the uniform for them.
Wow.
So they know that go work so that you can help us.
Right,
So that's
right.
why now they're so proud of me. They're so happy on me. I'm in love with my community. I am a role model in my community where I came from.
That's
So that's why I'm
beautiful.
fighting very hard to be more in the bush so that they can at least benefit, because I don't want to see them or their families go to the bush and get impala, get decked. I don't want to see that thing. So I'm blocking them or blocking their families to go to the bush. So my now I'm so proud to be away from them. And they're so happy to see, like, she's away from us, but we know that she's coming back to see
Yeah,
us.
and
Yeah.
we know she's doing good things, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
So I know you have other things that you're doing today. You're in the States for why are you in the States? What are you guys doing? You're in Jackson, Wyoming. You got to see Yellowstone National Park, right? That's pretty neat.
It was so
It's
lovely.
beautiful
You know,
there, isn't it? It's different. Very different than Africa, right?
we are here to share our work that we are doing in South Africa,
Great.
because it's totally different. So sharing and caring is good, because they're also learning from us and also learning from them. So, and also to show that even women can work the
You
job
bet.
which they say it is a man, because I think here lots of people that are working as a ranger or taking care of the park, I think is a man. So I wanted to show them that even they can give a chances to women in US to be part of of the park as
There
what we are
are,
doing.
yeah, there are many National Park Service rangers who are women. Have you met any while you were in Yellowstone? Did you meet any female rangers?
I think we did
Okay.
it.
Okay.
Yes.
Good. 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 So I don't want to keep you too long today, but let's wrap up. Just tell me each of you kind of, what do you think your long-term impact, like, what do you hope your legacy is in having a career as a Black Mamba? What do you think your long-term impact is going to be on your communities, South Africa in general, wildlife? What do you hope to leave as your legacy?
Okay, myself, I hope to leave people who can walk on top of my foot to protect these wild animals, and then to make sure that we stop poaching and before our animals go extinct.
Right.
That's my
Great.
wish.
Awesome.
So, like my wish, I wish like one day the government must take us into seriously, because when it's come to rhino poaching, government doesn't take into serious, because if you can arrest a rhino poach today, you find that within a week is out, and then the second day is in. So I want that when we invest more good information to the young ones, I know that one day those kids that we've been grooming them now, they will be working at the government. Those are the
Right.
ones that can make sure that everything is good, so that they can know that animals that we have in our reserve or in our parks is our heritage. We must try level the best to take care of it. Like last time we heard that there was a dinosaur. I never seen even the dinosaur. But now in my age, there is a rhino, there is pangolin, there is elephant. Why don't
Yeah.
I take care of those animals so that they cannot go extinct? So I'm grooming the young ones so that one day they can work in the government. They can be the one who working in the reserve, taking care of the animal for the young generation.
Awesome. You know what's interesting and reassuring, but also I find it really endearing is that during my podcast, as I talk to different people involved in law enforcement issues or, you know, countering wildlife trafficking or poaching, there's so much we have in common, regardless of where we live, right? We may
Definitely.
have different laws that apply. We may have different, you know, realities in our local communities or whatever. But in the end, the people who are involved in this effort to protect wildlife around the world really have very similar motivations, you know, like everything you say resonates with me and the things I hoped to accomplish during my career and the things that I cared about. So it's just a very kind of neat way to remember that on those days when things aren't going well, there are people on the other side of the planet doing exactly what you're doing and just as passionate, and maybe that helps us push through those difficult times, right? Yeah. Well, listen, yeah, for sure. Colette and Kateko, thank you so much for your time. I am so thrilled that you were willing to come on the podcast and talk to us just a little bit about the Black Mambas. Anybody who's any of my listeners who are interested in learning more, I'll have the link to the Black Mambas website on my website. They can go and take a look and read more stories and contribute and support you if they can. But thank you so much for your time. I hope you enjoy your stay in the United States, and thank you very much for the work you're doing in Africa. Americans, they like to come to Africa and spend their money on tourist activities, and all of us really appreciate that there are people like you protecting wildlife resources, not just for South Africans and people in your community, but for the whole world. So thank you very much.
Thank you for inviting us. But before we close down, I would like to say thank you to the listeners. Since the Black Mambas Anti-Poaching Unit, we are a non-profit fund. We would love to see people supporting us. And then we have the Black Mambas Alliances, which are the ones who are paying our salaries, or which are the one who are paying for the instruments that we are using. We would love to see many people to join to our Black Mambas Alliances, because we are the rangers on the field, but we need support from the people so then we can manage to run the program. Thank you.
Absolutely. We'll make sure that all that information is on the Nature Secret Service website so that people can contribute in whatever way they can. Yeah.
Thanks. Thank you. Thank you so much. We really
Great.
appreciate you having us in the Zoom. And to all today listeners, thank you so much. I hope one of our you will come to South Africa and see the Black Mambas live, not to see on the Zoom.
Oh, I'll be back. I'll be back to see you guys again. Yeah, I love visiting, and Craig and I've already talked about it. I'll be back to see the Black Mambas soon. Okay, that brings us to the end of another great episode of Nature Secret Service. I want to thank our guests today, Nkateko Mazimba and Colette Ngobeni, both of the Black Mambas Anti-Poaching Unit in South Africa. It was such a pleasure to have them on the show. I hope you guys enjoyed it. We'll see you next time. Nature Secret Service is written and produced by me, Ed Newcomer, and is co-produced by the DHTV team here at California State University, Dominguez Hills. Follow us on social media and connect with us online at naturesecretservice.com.